Tulsa Basic of BarnBurner.ca, a daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and my pleasure to welcome once again Andrew Buchholz, our CFL insider. Andrew, the East Division, West Division final took place Sunday. Let's first start off with the East. I was at BMO Field, and the Argos' Ricky Ray first half looked amazing, 18-3 at halftime, but then they blew it. And lucky Ricky Ray saved the day. The Argos prevailed 25-21. And first quarter, what a mess. I think there were 6 or 7 turnovers. I know gambling on third down, they did not get it, the Argos. But what a mess. And you want to talk about Saskatchewan, you know, Kevin Glenn there. Is his career over?
Yeah, I mean, this was certainly a tough one for Kevin Glenn, finishing with the 3 interceptions, with just a very poor day overall. And the thing that was interesting about that, too, is that he got 2 different opportunities. Glenn started the game. He wasn't all that impressive when he was at the start, completing 6 of 11 passes and not for a whole for 87 yards of interceptions. They pull him for Brandon Bridge. Bridge doesn't do all that much better at first, so they put Glenn back in, and then he promptly throws a couple of more interceptions. So I think it's certainly not a great moment for Kevin Glenn. It is just one game, but you do have to wonder about his future going forward. Now, the advantage is that he is still under contract for another year, and Brandon Bridge is not in Saskatchewan. So it's going to be interesting to see. They're already in contract negotiations. It'll be interesting to see if the two sides can come to an agreement there or if Brandon Bridge winds up going somewhere else. But I do think that it's going to be hard for anyone to want to go into next year with Kevin Glenn as their starter. Maybe if he wants to keep playing, he's a guy who I think could be a very helpful veteran presence. He's a guy who has been a useful mentor to some younger quarterbacks, and he's proven time and time again that he can be a very nice quarterback half round if things go wrong and if the starter goes down. But I'm not sure anybody wants to go into the season with him as the starter at this point in his career.
Now, thank God, the CFL must be saying thank God they have an East team, a West team in the capital city of Canada. Imagine if they had Saskatchewan against Calgary. I know it's, you know, Saskatchewan representing the East, you know, a little bit funny, only could happen in the CFL. So they must be really happy with what, you know, what happened at BMO Field. They had 24,900 and looked like legit, but I can't believe they couldn't sell out the BMO Field for it. But let's get to the game there. Second half, like, what were the Argos thinking? They were, you know, especially in the fourth quarter, because 1 point scoring in the third, and then in the fourth quarter, it looks like the Argos were sleeping because they let the game, almost lost the game, almost lost the season. And let's talk about, you know, Jim Popp and Mark Trestman coming in late to the CFL game in I believe, late February, early March, and now taking the worst team in the league last year into the Grey Cup final championship game this year. Kudos to them. And do you think the Argos have a shot here at actually holding the Grey Cup?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, there's a few things to touch on there. First off, I think it isn't as much of a thank God moment for the league as you might think. They're fine with whoever winds up in the Grey Cup, and they'll always, they probably would love Saskatchewan to be there from the ratings side. Having Toronto there is nice from a sense of maybe let's try and build some excitement about the Argos and get things going in a better direction for them. But either of these teams would have been an interesting matchup. The All-West final would have been a unique gimmick and something that would have gotten a lot of attention. But having Toronto there is going to get a good amount of attention in itself. And it's interesting that this 2012 rematch. In a lot of ways, this is like the 2012 game. Toronto came in with a not so impressive regular season that year, but they got hot at the right time in the playoffs and went on to win the Grey Cup. Calgary was heavily favored there, couldn't quite pull it out in the big game. And so I think anything can happen in one game, and we often see plenty of upsets in the Grey Cup itself. And the advantage I think that Toronto really has is with Ricky Ray. He's got a lot of people doubted before this year. He went on to have one of his best seasons, to stay healthy, to be consistent throughout, and he really was impressive again in this game. There were times where it wasn't great. There were times where the Toronto offense wasn't doing much of anything, and if they had lost this, that definitely would have been a big part of the issue, considering all the turnovers they forced and how little they were able to make of them. But when the chips were down, Ricky Ray really came through. He came up with just an incredible drive late in this one that put Toronto back on top, and did so with just a few seconds left, making it easy enough for them to win. And that was very impressive. That's what you get from Ricky Ray, and that's what you get from a quarterback of that caliber. And speaking of Trestman and Pop, absolutely, it's remarkable that they have managed to have so much success this year despite coming in late and despite having with a lot of the free agents already signed elsewhere, despite having to really start off behind the eight ball. The expectations for the Argonauts this year were not all that high, and I think that they definitely overachieved there. The regular season wasn't all that great, but they did enough to finish in first place, and that was all they needed to pick up that first round bye, and now they've done enough to go on to the Grey Cup, and you can't really ask for any more than that.
All right, now let's get to the Western Division Final. Edmonton going into Calgary. Edmonton coming off like a tremendous, tremendous roll, and it looked like in the first quarter, second quarter, up 14-0, it looked like Edmonton's going to go to the Grey Cup, but Calgary finally storming back, showing why they're the best team last, let's say, 4 or 5 years in the Canadian Football League. And Calgary getting the win 32-28. But a lot of people are talking about the head coach of Edmonton, why you're kicking a field goal. Take us through that moment. If you were a coach of a team, you're in the finals there, you need to score a touchdown. But like, what's going through your mind here? Like, we're going to kick a field goal, and we're still, even if they kick the field goal, we're still 4 points short.
Yeah, it was a very curious field goal decision from Jason Ross, and it was part of a game that was just full of swings all the way around. I mean, as you said, it was all Edmonton early, it was all Calgary in the middle, and then Edmonton really seemed to be putting on the pressure and seemed to have an excellent chance of tying it. I mean, that drive was incredible, and they were doing so well. And a big part of what surprised many, myself included, was that the decision to kick the field goal came on 3rd and 4 from the 13. But if they were determined not to go for it on 3rd down, they should have done so earlier in the drive, where they went for it at 3rd and 10 near midfield. There you can make a case for maybe punting and being like, okay, our defense is good enough. There's enough time left on the clock that we'll get the ball back and we'll be in decent field position. But deciding to kick the field goal from that close, really, there hasn't been a good explanation for it yet, because even if your defense gets a stop, you're not getting the ball in better position than you are at the 13. So it's certainly a curious decision. None of Jason Moss's explanations for it so far make a lot of sense. I think some of it may be just that there's a lot of pressure in the heat at the moment, and Jason Moss is a guy who doesn't have all that much head coaching experience. He's pretty new to that job. He probably hasn't seen all that many late game situations as a head coach over the years, and I wonder if he just made a mistake here and wound up doing something that he wasn't planning on and probably wouldn't do again. I think certainly the response to this shows that that's something you won't see any CFL coach try again in the future.
All right, final question with Andrew Buckles. This week there was rumors going around that the CFL may expand to Halifax. First of all, if they do expand to Halifax, how do you think Halifax is going to do in this Canadian Football League? And when is the timetable if they do expand?
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue with Atlantic expansion has always been about ownership and stadium. I think that there would be enough fans there to support it. And I think putting a team in Halifax is a good thing from that perspective. There's been a lot of talk about Moncton in years past, and Moncton has the advantage of being closer to sort of everything, but it's still not terribly close to Bay Ridge, and there aren't necessarily a ton of people who are going to drive all day to go to a game. I think that the other thing, the advantage that Halifax has is because it's bigger, because it's such a bigger corporate headquarters, that's going to be really helpful for them from the sponsorship side. So there's a lot of advantages to putting a team there. The challenge is, though, that there would have to be a fair bit done on the stadium side. And on the ownership side, I mean, sure, some of the people they have involved have a decent amount of money, but they're also not necessarily, it's also not necessarily a lock in terms of great ownership with deep community ties. I think one thing that will raise a few questions is the involvement of some of these guys with the Arizona Coyotes at one point, and how that didn't really seem to work out too well for all parties concerned. So I think it's certainly not something that's imminent. It's not something that's going to happen right away. The CFL has made it clear that if they do any further expansion, it's going to be a deliberate process and they're going to get it right. But it's definitely interesting to have this back on the table and to have people talking about. I think any move would be several years down the line, but it's good to see this discussed again.
All right, that's Andrew Buchholz. Andrew will be back here later this week to preview the 105th Grey Cup. But, Andrew, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Andrew Buchholz. You can read my CFL work at barnburner.ca. You can read my other work at Awful Announcing and The Comeback, and my Canadian University sports columns at esports.ca.
All right, that's Andrew Buchholz. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
No worries. Thanks for having me.